Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. But most of all, I thank you for who you are. You are a great God. You are a mighty God. You are worthy of all the praise that you receive on a daily basis. And Father, as we look into your word tonight, we want to look at some truths because there's so much misconception going on in the world today. And as our pastor has been preparing us, we don't know how much time there is left, but we know we're at the end of that yardstick. And Father, you want us to be a people aware of what's going on, but more importantly, you want us to know who you are. Because you are the one who keeps us, you are the one who sustains us, and we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and directs us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This message that I'm going to share with you tonight came about as a result of our youngest son got married, and I went for a walk on a Saturday morning, just spent some time, and the Lord dropped two words into my spirit. And so I started studying and I started looking at it. And, you know, the world in which we live in, if you ask someone, who is God? What do they tell you? You get a lot of different answers. You know, well, God is this, God is that, God is this, God might be this. And the Lord goes, I want you to take the word God is, and I'm going to take you through the scriptures. And I want you to share with my people what my word says I am. Because we need to know what God is. And the first scripture we want to look at is in Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? That's who God is. God is someone that can't lie. And if he said it, he will do it. That's who God is. God is that person. And I took my time looking at these scriptures because they're scriptures that we've looked at before, but I've got a whole different understanding of who God is. Because He is. Jesus was the Son of God who came as a man in the flesh. And he never lies. He never lies. We can't say that about one another. We can't say that about friends. But we can say that because God is a man and he does not lie. And then he says, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? If God said it, and it's in this book, we can stand on it. Because he is, well, I'm not going to say it. Thank you, Lord, for checking me, because that's another thing we're going to look at. Pastor Mark said it on Sunday when I was talking to him afterwards. Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Actually, I'm not going to have much to say tonight, and that's a good thing. Because I'm just going to let God's word speak for itself because it doesn't need my help other than be a mouthpiece. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. For the Lord, whose God? Thy God. See, he's the God that you and I know is a personal God. He's your God. He's my God. But he's also a jealous God. See, he doesn't want us to be in love with something more than him. He's a jealous God. And you know what? I'm glad that he's jealous. But you can't look at the fact that he is a jealous God without looking at he is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. And I remember the story of a judge who was in New York. I may have shared this before. He was going across one of the bridges and he heard a screaming young man in the water. Looked over to the side of the bridge, sees this young boy in the water. He's drowning. He jumps in and he saves him. About 3 years later, he's in his courtroom and the same young man is brought into his courtroom for a sentence. And the young man looks at the judge and he goes, Sir, don't you remember me? And the judge looks at him and says, yes, young man, I remember you. You're the little boy that was drowning and I jumped in the water and saved you. But he goes, that day I jumped in the water, I was your savior. Today, I'm your judge. And see, God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. But he also can pass judgment on you and I, which can be a consuming fire. Stay in Deuteronomy and go to verse 31 in the same chapter. It says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Praise God. He's a merciful God. See, that's who God is. He's a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, and listen to this last part, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. God is a merciful God. God will not forsake us. And he will not forget the covenant that he established. He is a covenant-keeping God. Now, we are not always a covenant-keeping people. But you know what? That doesn't change God. He will keep his covenant with you. He will keep his covenant with you. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy had a lot. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And we know it says, thou shalt teach him diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. But it says, the Lord our God is one God. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians. I want to read something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 4, it says, as concerning therefore the eating of these things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. There's only one God. In verse 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom, and here's that two words that Pastor Mark was telling us about. It occurs twice in this passage of Scripture. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. There's only one God, and in him is all things. Go back to Deuteronomy. And let's go to chapter 9. And I want to look at verse 3. It says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Our God goes before us. He goes before us. And how many of us, I've been there, we get bent out of shape. We got something come up. We got a test. We're being attacked. But see, thy God is he which goeth over before thee. He's looking out for you and me. He goes before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. See, we give too much credit to the enemy. We serve a great God. We serve a big God. There is nothing the enemy can bring to you and I unless God allows it. And God, this is one of the things, and I'll share this at the end. I can't share it now. God is wanting to demonstrate to you and I how awesome he is. He is an awesome God. And he wants us to take him out of a box. He wants us to see, and that's why he's having us look at these scriptures, because he's wanting to see what his word says he is. Not what we've been told, not what the world says, not what we might have heard. We want to see what God's word says, who God is. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. A wimpy God. That's not what it says. He's a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. You know, our God can't be bribed. He can't be bribed. Not only is he the God of gods and Lord of lords, he's a great God. He's a mighty God. And you know what? He's not a respecter of persons. There isn't anything that you can read in here. There's no testimony that you can hear from a brother or sister in the Lord. If he did it for them, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. Because he is no respecter of persons. That's who God is. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. I thought it was going to be the whole night in Deuteronomy, but we finally get out of it here. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Before I read this verse, you ever feel like you're alone sometimes? Feel like you're just all by yourself? You won't after you know who God is. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. When we feel like we're in quicksand and we're sinking, God is right there with us, and he's got that outstretched hand to reach out and say, here, just grab on. I'll pull you up. And we all know footprints in the sand. Sometimes there's only two footprints because he's carrying us. But see, God is the one that goes with you. He's with us all the time. He's not on call. He's not an Uber driver. You know, you don't hit an app and see a little tracking of a guy pulling up. No, he's there when you call. And he goes with you wherever you're at and whatever you're doing. God is with you. See, this is what God's word says. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Make sure I got this right. Verse 27. I keep forgetting we have that back there. It's so easy to read back there. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. What kind of God? An eternal God. Not a finite God. A finite God is someone that might be there, might not be there. Eternal God is forever. He's an eternal God. But that eternal God is thy refuge. That eternal God is your refuge. That eternal God is my refuge. And what's underneath us? What's underneath us? Everlasting arms. How many times have you ever felt like, man, I just need someone to pick me up. I just need someone to lift me up. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this next hour, this next minute, this next day, this next week. Know that you have an eternal God that's your refuge, but not only that, his everlasting arms is underneath you. He's always with you. His everlasting arms are with you to pick you up. I'm getting more excited as I go back and look at these scriptures again. And you know what? One of the things that I'm seeing a lot in these scriptures is God doesn't like our enemies. He doesn't like our enemies. But he wants us to know that he's there to destroy those enemies. He's there to protect us from those enemies. And we're not to fight the fight by ourselves. You know, how many times in the Christian realm are there spats between family members, between two brothers and sisters are close to the Lord. Why does that occur? Because we forget what it says in Ephesians. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But all our little spats and all the little differences are all about flesh and blood. Just get behind the spiritual things that are going on and let God resolve the situations and circumstances. Because he wants to. He doesn't want anyone caring anything about anyone at any time. Because guess who it hurts? The one who's carrying it. Because most of the time, the person that's not carrying it doesn't even know. Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Verse 32 to 34. This is a question a lot of people ask. For who is God? That's what we're looking at tonight. We're looking at what God's word says he is. This asks a question. For who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? God is what? My strength and power. And he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. God is my strength and power. You ever feel weak? You ever feel weary? Isn't that what Paul said? That in his weakness, he learned that his strength was made perfect because God's grace was sufficient? We get too tired many times because we're trying to fight things ourselves rather than resting in God's strength. It's God's strength. It says, God is my strength and power. And he maketh my way perfect. He makes your way complete. That's what he does. He makes your way complete. And he setteth me upon my high places. As a little boy, I used to enjoy watching some of the old cowboy and Indian movies. And what I remember about them is every one of those movies had a fort. And the fort was always high, and they always had someone in a tower because they were set on a high place so they could see what was going on. They could see when the enemy was coming. And that's what I thought of when he says, and setteth me upon my high places. He sets us up so we can see. Go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. This scripture I've used many times in ministering to someone who's backslidden, someone who feels like they've fallen away from the Lord, and they're not walking the way they used to. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. For if you turn again unto the Lord, if you turn again, that means you had to turn away at some point, right? So if you turn again, that means you turn back to the Lord. Turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is, what is he? He's gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. It doesn't make any difference how messed up you feel. See, that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to believe that you can't go back to the Lord because he's not going to accept you. You just messed up. No. He's not going to reject you because it's his desire that none should perish. So if you messed up and you repent and you come back to God, he's not going to turn his face from you. If, see, there's that big two-letter word, if you return to him. We have the example of the prodigal son. What did that father do? Did he wait there and go, boy, you know, you had to go through eating pig slop. You had to live with the pigs. He didn't do that. He ran. He ran to that son. Because he was so glad that he was returning home. That's the way God our Father is. He's excited when we come unto him. Go to Ezra. Go to Ezra chapter 8. Verse 21. I'm going to start there. Ezra proclaims a fast. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So what does it say here? It says, the hand of our God is upon all them for good. Don't we say that? I think MC says that. God is good all the time. Barbara says that. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He is. He's good to all those that seek him. God is good all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. That's why when we know who God is, we have no problem sharing, what's this called? What's the Tampa Bay Times called? No, yeah, well, Tampa Times is called news, newspaper, but it's not good news all the time. It has slanted views, okay? This has no slanted views. This is good news. This book is good news. There is nothing, I mean, there's some things in here that will shake you because you're going, wow, that happened? But it's good news. This book, if you challenge someone who doesn't believe this book is true, just give them a Bible and say, start reading it. Because you know what? God doesn't need me to convince them that this book is true. That's how I got saved. I said, I don't know whether you're real or not, God. So I stole this Bible. That's a good way to start a relationship, isn't it? It was sitting on the counter in the training room when I was in New York. It was left by one of the guys on the team. And he told me later, he set it there purposely. I said, good. I said, I already repented of stealing, but the fact that you left it there and I needed it, I appreciate that. But I said, I don't know whether you're real or not. I said, I'm just going to start reading this from Genesis to Revelation. I don't have any order. I don't have any plan. But the more you read it and the more you start, all of a sudden you go, wait a second. That says that here. Oh, that says that over here. Oh, that says that back here. You're going, how can this happen? And then you get to the verse where it says, it was written by 40 different men inspired by the Holy Ghost. I'm going, that's not possible. I could take everyone in here tonight and give you a subject and write a chapter on it. It wouldn't come close to being in order. Everyone would have a different viewpoint. Nothing would line up. So that's how I got saved. Go to Psalm 33. If this is not appropriate, and we as a people need to know this of who God is, at a time in which we're living, this is important to know who God is. Psalm 33. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. See, this nation is blessed because God is our Lord. He was what this country was founded upon. And I saw in the news that pastor that was in prison in Turkey for 2 years. He gets invited to the White House. What's he do? He kneels down on one knee and his hands on the President of the United States and starts praying. Praise God. Okay? What are they going to say? They can't slant that. I mean, it can't be, as Trump said, it can't be slanted news. You can't read anything else into that. You got a pastor who came out of prison, and he's praying over the commander-in-chief because he knows blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And he knew who God was. He knew all those things we read so far in God's Word. I'll guarantee he got to experience God in every one of those situations he was in for 2 years in prison. Every one of them. And he's free now because of it. Go to Psalms 46. Verse 1, God is what? Our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God, of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. See, God's in the midst of everything that's going on. Everything that's going on in the world. The mountains can be shaken. The floodwaters can be flowing. But God's in the midst of it. God is right in the midst of it. You know? They're like, the world was confounded when Trump was elected president. And I'm not going to get into political, but you know what? You see God's hand in what's going on because the capital of Israel is Jerusalem. And is Trump responsible for that? No. He was being used by God to allow that to come to pass. So God's got everything in, just like everything that's happened with every president, whether you liked him or didn't like him, God is in control. Don't ever forget that. God is in control. He's in control of your life. He's in control of the nation. He's in control of the world. He's in control of the world leaders. And if you believe that, then he'll begin to show you what you need to pray for. We got elections coming up. People are going, what? You know, look, everything looks a mess. No, God's in control. God knows exactly what needs to be done, and every one of the elections is going to take place. I don't know why I said that. Oh, I know why. Because God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That's why. You know, God's there. We need God's help. We need God's direction. 46, I read that. Go over to Psalm 48. My voice is holding up. Psalm 48. I was going to sing a duo with MC tonight so we could both sing bass, but that's not going to happen. I'll say amen to that. Thank you. Psalm 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You know, he knows exactly the day you're going to take your last heartbeat. He knows the day you're going to take your last breath. But until that, he's going to guide every one of your footsteps until then. Because, where is it? Oh. Because this God is our God forever and ever. We already saw that he goes with us, so if he's forever and ever, as long as you're alive, as long as I'm alive, he's there. He's there to guide you. He's going to guide you all the way unto death. How exciting about that. That just, when I read that, I'm going, you know what? There is no fear of death. There is no fear of death because God's in control of that. He's going to guide you. He's going to allow you to get things in order. He's going to allow you to do everything you need to do. Go to Psalm 50. Verse 5. Well, let's start in verse 4. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. See, we're all going to have to stand before God one day as a judge. But he has a remnant that he's coming after. And he's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. He's going to have us ready. If we're truly seeking after God, he's going to have you and I ready. Are we going to make mistakes along the way? Yeah, we're going to screw up. If you haven't, then pray for me when I get done. Psalm 54. Women, when you were growing up, did you enjoy being around your mother, and your mother would call you a little what? Little helper. Okay? Good. Let's go to Psalm 54:4. God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Except God, if God is mine helper, you're not talking about a little helper here. You're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're talking about a great God. You're talking about a mighty God. He's a great helper in time of needs. He's not the little helper. Barbara, come here. You're my little helper. Come over here. No, he's a great God, but he's your helper. That's who God is. God is mine helper. That's personal. And he's no respecter of persons, so if he's mine helper, he's Rochelle's helper. He's Casey's helper. He's Denise's helper. He's personal. God is mine helper. Turn over to Psalm 59. Verses 9 and 10. Because of his strength, I will wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Because of whose strength? Whose strength? His strength. Will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. God is your banner of protection. God is the one that puts up a shield. God is the one that prevents. Sue told me one time, we were driving down the Long Island Expressway in New York. She goes, you know, God must have assigned you a lot of angels. And she was saying it seriously, okay? Because driving in that traffic, going back and forth and all that, she was probably right. I probably retired a few in my walk as a Christian too. Because they're like, oh, Lord, this guy's a tough one. But you know what? God always sustained me. God always helped me. God was always always protected me. He was my defense. And the thing he reminded me of when I read this, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. We had gotten a new car, and it had snowed, and I'd gone into the ballpark. And I'm backing out, and I have to go straight and then make a left before I could get out of the parking lot. There was three cars right here. And I hit a little patch of ice. And the new car is sliding right toward these two cars that are parked there. And I scream as loud as I could, Jesus, Jesus, help me. And his strength, that car was sliding, and all of a sudden it went, it just stopped. And I wanted to see how much my faith was being tested. So I get out of the car once it stops. And I walk to the front of the car. There's that much distance between my bumper and those two cars. But he was my defense. He came to my defense. He stopped that car. Because he's a mighty God. Only God has the strength to stop that car. You can say, ah, that was just an accident. No, it wasn't. It wasn't just that. Because there's no way that mass of metal was going to come to a stop. And I wasn't going that fast. But if you've ever driven on ice, once you start, it doesn't want to stop. It stopped. Go to, let me see, I just read that. Go to Psalm 62. Verse 7 and 8. It says, in God is my what? See, there's no other salvation other than in God and in Jesus Christ. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. See, that word refuge comes up a lot. God is our refuge. God is our protection. God is there to keep us safe. Why? Because he is a good God. He cares for you. It says, my refuge is in God. That's the only place we want to put our refuge is in God. Go to Psalm 68. Verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with his benefits, even the God of our salvation. And then it says Selah. You know, we sometimes just read over these passages of Scripture so quick. Selah means pause, meditate, think on it. Think of what it was just said there. He that is our God is the God of salvation. He is the God of salvation. It didn't say Seventh-day Adventist. It didn't say Hare Krishna. It says God is the God of salvation. And unto the God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. The God of our salvation. He's the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Who's the only one who rose from the grave? Jesus. He rose from the grave. Death couldn't hold him. Death could not hold Jesus Christ. They had the big rock rolled in front of the grave. They couldn't hold him. They had him in front of the grave. They had him wrapped in grave clothes. That couldn't hold him. And I always remember this. How detailed our God is. Does anyone remember the teaching that Herb Atkins did on the napkin? He folded the napkin and put it back in its place before he left the tomb. That's a God of detail. But that's a God that you and I know. That's a God we serve. Go to Psalm 73. I haven't said anything tonight other than what, I'm just reading you what God's Word says. I'm not adding to it. I'm just reading what God's Word says. Psalm 73. My flesh, MC, I want you to read this. My flesh and my heart faileth. You've had some heart problems, right? 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's the strength of your heart, my brother. He causes every heartbeat to take place. He causes every amount of blood to flow from that heart. He is the strength of your heart. And that heart is not going to stop until he says it's going to stop, my brother. And thank God my flesh fails. Because the more my flesh stinks, the more I know it's getting burnt. Psalm 84. Verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. He's a sun and shield. I'm not even going to say any more to that. Go to Psalm 94. Verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. See, when your life is built upon the rock, storms can come, winds can come, floods can come, but that house will stay firmly on the rock. I don't know whether any of you saw in the news, I was sharing with Casey the other day, that house up in Mexico Beach, there was a house that was built to withstand winds of up to 250 miles per hour. Everything around this house was totally destroyed. This house looked like nothing had ever come through there. But when you start reading how this house was built, it had a firm foundation. It had pillars of concrete that went deep down into the ground. It had walls of concrete. This house was built to withstand the winds. And it did. The roof, everything. There was, I mean, the pictures of it are just, they're miraculous. But that's what I thought of when I read this, because, you know, the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. See, when our lives are built upon the rock, storms are going to come, winds are going to come, But we have that firm foundation. I thank God for the uncompromised word that the Lord put in Pastor Bill's heart that has been transferred into Pastor Mark's heart. Because we have to have our foundation built upon this word. We're not going to make it on what Pastor Mark knows. I'm not going to make it on what Rochelle knows. I have to know who God is, and this has to be my rock. This has to be what I stand on. No matter what it takes me through, no matter what it allows me to go through, no matter what it allows me to see, no matter what someone says to me. This Bible, this Word of God will stand on its own. I challenge anyone to try to disprove it. Because if they do, they're going to get saved. I know many people that have done it. I know a lot of athletes that have done it. They all got saved. Because you can't disprove this book. This book is a book of truth. God is a God that doesn't lie. There's truth in this. And we're going to find out something here in a second. Maybe if I get to it. I may not. If I do, I'll continue it. Go to Psalm 116. I don't think I'm going to get through everything tonight. That's okay. Psalm 116. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. We've heard that more than once in these scriptures about God. God is merciful. He is a merciful God. If God is merciful, are we as a people merciful? Or are we judgmental? You know, we have to be very careful about. We have been given a lot of word. We have been taught many things. There are things that Sue and I have learned in this place and in our lives. We've crossed other Christians who had good intentions and good hearts, but they had no understanding of things that we would start to share with them. Absolutely zero. There are people who never had to. The teachings on the Tabernacle of Moses, the Tabernacle of David, Temple of Solomon, types and shadows. You can go on and on and on. We are a blessed people. And if we run across those people, our attitude shouldn't be, see how much I know? Oh, my voice got deeper. It should be, well, if you'd like, I've got some outlines and some teachings I'd like to share with you. And if they're hungry and thirsting for God, they'll say, sure. Now it went high. But that's why we've been given this. We've been entrusted with this word, not so we can store it up and get fat. It's so that we can share it and impart it to others who have not had the luxury of being taught the uncompromised word. Because there's a lot out there that haven't. They just haven't. But don't pass judgment on them. There are a lot that are hungering and thirsting. They just need someone to disciple them. That's what they need. Go to Psalm 144. That was a sidetrack. That wasn't in my notes. Psalm 144. Verse 15. Are you happy? It says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If God is your Lord, we need to be happy. Do we have moments when we don't want to show happiness? Yeah, we do. But we got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living on the inside of us. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm fine. We need to be real. I may end on this one tonight. Yeah, I will, Lord. Thank you. Because that's where you want me to end. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Pastor Mark and I were talking about this briefly a couple weeks ago. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 32. Jesus is speaking. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. See, our God is a living God. Our God is alive. And what I was sharing with Pastor Mark was, I remember when my mom passed away. Went back, and it caught me by surprise. We went back, and I told my dad, I said, I need to see mom. So I went to the funeral home, spoke to the funeral director, and I said, I need to see my mom. And I go down, and I was believing God that if she'd died before her time, that God was going to raise her up from the dead. She didn't come to life. And we get in the car. Sue and I are in the back seat of my dad's car. And Sue just leans over and whispers very lovingly and said, we didn't come here to bring life to the dead. We came here to bring life to the living. And I never will forget that. Because I had prayed for an opportunity to share Jesus with every member of my family. My dad's side, my mom's side. And they were there at the funeral. And the pastor gave me about 15 minutes to share. And I shared out of Romans 3:23. And I had cousins and I had family members come up and said, why aren't you weeping? Why aren't you crying? I said, because my wife and I are here for a reason, and that's to bring life to the living. And then I would start asking them, do you know Jesus? What's your relationship? Where are you at? And that whole time was spent doing that. And see, he's not the God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. And see, sometimes people pass and we wonder, why now? But God knows. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows when people's hearts are right. And there are those that we don't know whether they knew the Lord or not. That's not for me. I have to leave that in God's hands. Because as Brother Herb Atkins shared one time, he said he was convinced that anyone that committed suicide went to hell. And then something happened in his ministry. And if I remember right, Pastor Mark, you might want to correct me if I'm wrong, but he said the Lord just showed him, you're not God. You don't know what that person said. You don't know what their last words were. You don't know whether they cried out from the bottom of their heart, oh God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. But because he's merciful, because he's long-suffering, because he cares, he would receive that individual. That's who God is. And when we know who God is, then we become his hands, his mouth, his ears, his eyes, and his feet. I got a lot more scriptures. I'm not going to get through them all tonight. I'll pick it up the next time. Heavenly Father, oh, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are so faithful. You are so merciful. You are so long-suffering. You are a God that we can put our trust in, that we can cling to, that we can rely upon, that we can adhere to. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always with us no matter what we're going through. And Lord, we've all been through things and situations and circumstances we wondered how we're going to get through it. But God, you were there. You were there. Your everlasting arms were underneath us to lift us up. The sweet voice of your Holy Spirit was there to comfort us. Oh, we thank you, God, for who you are. Because you are a great and mighty God. Lord, I just pray that everyone listening here tonight and over the internet, they have a better understanding of who God really is. Not according to what man says, but according to what God's word says that he is. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.